within days, the Lord Jesus Christ, the very servant of men, would lay down his life on the cross of Calvary. Within days, the cries would be heard, "Crucify him! Away with him!" As cruel, wicked hands, devil-inspired men would take the very Christ of God and they would nail him to that old Roman gibbet to die the death of the cursed. That hour was approaching for which he had come into this world. Even the giving of himself as a sinner's substitute, so that sinful man might have a way back to God, and that sinful man might experience what it is to have eternal life. And so to that city of Jerusalem he would go. But he would go not under the cover of darkness of a night, but rather he would go openly and courageously in view of the crowds of people. But in the words before us, we have the very means by which he would come into that city. He would come triumphantly in the manner in which the kings of the Old Testament would do so. For often they were found riding upon the simple ass. The Lord would come into the city not on a horse. That speaks of war. That speaks of battle. But rather, he would come into the city of Jerusalem upon a little colt, symbolic of peace. For the Savior was going to Calvary, where he would be triumphant over the devil, over the forces of hell. He was going to the cross, where he would be victorious over death. For the third day, rising again from the tomb, he would be victorious over the grave. He would ascend back to the Father's throne on high. And he did so that his people might also be victorious and that his people might follow on. For Christ came that he might obtain peace through the blood of his cross for those who are at enmity with God. Dear soul in this meeting tonight, if you're not saved, you've never experienced a new birth, have been born again of God's Spirit, I want to tell you, you are still at enmity with God. You're still an enemy to God. And you are that soul that is afar off and in sin. And the condemnation of God, it already hangs upon you. But praise God, he can work upon your soul tonight in such a way by the power of his Spirit that you might be brought to Christ and that you will never be the same again. You can be saved tonight, this evening, by looking away to the Savior, by saving faith. Leave this house a child of God. It is my prayer that you would experience what the colt was to experience this day. I've entitled my message tonight, Chosen and of Service to Christ. I want you to see firstly here the picture of the colt. Now, when we consider the colt, then to those who don't know what a colt is, we're thinking of a young male ass. And in the few verses that are before us, we get a scene of what it was just in another village to where the Savior and his disciples were standing this day. For upon arriving in his village, I want you to consider what these two disciples were to see. I direct your attention to the words of verse 4. Of Mark chapter 11, where it says there, and they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. When they saw this colt, they were to see a colt who had no liberty or freedom. For we read in these words that it was tied. It was tied. That was what they were to expect. They were going to find, of course. For the Lord already had spoken to him in the words of verse 2 that the colt would be tied. It hadn't got its freedom. But rather, it was bound by this cord. It couldn't go anywhere. It couldn't do anything. It had no freedom. It had no liberty. And dear men and women, young people tonight, if there's one thing that the Scriptures speak about the sinner, then it is the fact that they're bound and they're held by many a snare. The soul without God's salvation is one who has no liberty. You have no freedom. But instead, there is a bondage. Oh yes, I know tonight that the world may think that they have freedom. And the world thinks tonight they have liberty to live whatever way they like. And of course we have liberty, preacher. And of course we have liberty. We can do all we like in this world. We can please the flesh. But you know, I go down the street and I see the man or the woman that's given to drink. And they see the effects of that person or that young person and tell me, is that a picture of liberty? Is that not a man who's in bondage to the stuff? I hear it all abroad today. We see it in our towns. Young men, young women caught upon the drugs of this old world. Oh, I have the liberty to do what I like. And I look at that young person and I look at that man or woman and do I not see a picture of bondage? No, the worldling doesn't have liberty tonight. The soul in the world doesn't have freedom tonight. They're in bondage. The very thought of getting saved, the very thought of getting converted to Christ brings with it the thoughts of limitations and of rules. But I want to tell you something tonight. It's not the ungodly who have the freedom. But the ungodly are like this colt. They are in bondage to their old master, the devil. And that bondage means that they cannot do what that which is pleasing to God. Their whole being, their heart is given over to sin and to the ways of evil. So that the old nature within each one of us is inclined to sin all the time. This certainly is what is borne out by Romans. For there we read, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. There we read in the third chapter, with their tongues they have used deceit, with mouth whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Ah, doesn't the Scriptures, don't they sum up the old sinner precisely? You look at Ephesians chapter 2 and the words of verse 2 and it says this, and Paul here is reminding these believers what they were before Christ saved them. And he said, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Is that not a picture of bondage? That's what you are tonight if you're not saved. Your old flesh, your old heart is given over to sin. It's in bondage to it. It's in bondage to the ways of the world and the ways of the devil. You're just like this old colt. You're tied. Now don't tell me, friend, that that is freedom or liberty. For it's not. There's only one who can give you liberty and there's only one who can give you true freedom tonight. And that is why we read in John 8 and verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. But I want you to look a little further. For not only had this colt no liberty, but this colt had no usefulness. You see, understand it was but a colt. And never a man had sat on this colt before. It had never been put to use. In terms of those who work with horses, if I can use their language, here was a colt, an ass, a colt of an ass that never had a bit or bridle in his mouth. Here was a colt that never had a saddle on his back. Here was a little animal that was never broken in. It was still an animal which had never been taught to submit to man. And so it might be suggested that it had never been put to any good service for man. There was a colt tied. But you know what was true of the colt is also true of men born into this world. Ever since Adam rebelled against God and taken of that forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden, man has ever since rebelled. And that is a truth that is borne out in Job 11 and verse 12. Listen to these words. For vain man would be wise, though man be born like a wild ass's colt. Every one of us are born a rebel. A rebel to God. Man is a rebel by birth. He will not submit to the will of God, and neither indeed can he because of his fallen nature. And that means that he cannot be of any useful service unto the Lord. Oh, how many today try to serve God in the flesh and through the old nature, but it remains unfruitful and it is but a failure. The way in which this colt was found was in a state of being of no use. And that is the way in which God finds a sinner tonight. You're dead in trespasses and in sins. You're like the man of Gadara, for of him it was said that no man could bind him, neither could any man tame him. There was only one who could straighten him out. Only one who could tame that old rebellious nature, and that was the Christ of God at whose feet he came to rest, clothed and in his right mind. My dear soul, you're no different. That old will and heart of yours needs to be broken. That old will and heart of yours needs to be brought to submission before a holy God. For unless that happens, you will live a life of uselessness to both God and to men. Maybe you thought you were a great fella, you were a great woman before you came into the meeting tonight. Not according to the scriptures. You're just like this colt. You're dead in sin. No life. But I want you to see something else about it. For not only had the colt no liberty, no usefulness, but had no entrance. You see it? See the words of verse 4? They went their way, they found the colt tied by the door without. In a place where two ways met. It was tied by the door without. For whatever reason, this colt was prevented from entering into the owner's property. It was shut outside. It was outside the door of the house. And as I picture that colt in my mind's eye, then I'm brought also to consider the five virgins who, when it was noised abroad that the bridegroom was coming, they went in search of oil for their lamps. But you know, when the bridegroom came, we read that they that were ready went in with him and the door was shut. They went into the marriage. The door was shut. Those other five virgins came and they rapped the door to get in. And the Lord said, I never knew you. The door was shut. They who have no experience of the new birth, never been born again of God's Spirit, will be shut outside the door for all time and all eternity. For understand, dear friend, tonight that man is shut out of heaven because of his sin. Nothing that defileth shall ever enter in. He has no entrance into there. Even though he is created by God, yet sin has robbed us. Sin has made us enemies to God so that we're barred entrance into the very dwelling place of our Creator and of our God. What a picture this is of the colt. No liberty, no usefulness, and it's no entrance. Ah, what a picture this is of the sinner tonight. Soul without God's salvation. I wonder, is this a picture of you? No liberty but in bondage to sin. No usefulness or service to God. One who has no entrance into heaven or the assurance of it. And it is because of your sin. What a poor, wretched creature a sinner really is. And every one of us, listen, every one of us are born into this world just like that. No difference. But not only do you see the picture of the colt here, but let me show you the power of Christ. Even though that is the sinner's state and condition, just as it was for this colt, yet I believe in these words, we see the hope. And that is because of the power of the Savior. Now the Lord was to command these disciples to go into this village in order that the colt might be liberated. The colt might be set free and brought to him. And that reminds me that God uses men in the great work of liberating souls from the bondage of their sin. There's a little word to the believer tonight. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God uses his saints to be the means of leading others to himself. And sitting under the sound of the gospel been preached tonight, dear soul, you can know the power of Christ in your life. God can set you free tonight so that you'll never be the same again. For I want you to see the Savior's power here in the knowledge that he displayed. Look at verse 2. The Lord speaking to them, he said unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. He knew exactly where the colt would be. Even from a great distance. They wouldn't even have to go through the village. But that colt would just be there once they entered the very village, the edge of the village. It was going to be there. And we have the added detail given where the disciples went. For we read in verse 4 that it was tied at a place where two ways met. Now what significance there seems to be in that. One way led to Christ. The other way, it led away from Christ. Place where two ways met. And I tell you tonight that not only does God know every heart that is before him this evening, and a glance at the opening words of Psalm 139 would remind us that God knows everything about us. You consider the words of verse 2, where the psalmist could say, thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. God knows your thoughts tonight. Knows what you're thinking while you even sit in the house of God under the preaching of the gospel. Thou compass my path and my lying down are not acquainted with all my ways. The Lord knows all about your ways this Sabbath. Knows where you've been. Knows where you were last night. For there's not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. He knows every word that passes your lips. The Lord could say to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. The Lord knows all about us. God is the all-knowing God, and nothing, but absolutely nothing, is hidden from his eyes tonight. He knoweth them that are his. He knows those still in their sin. And he knows where you are to be found tonight. For God has planned that you should be under the very sound of the gospel this very evening. And yet, could it be? Could it be that I'm preaching to someone and God has brought you to the place and you've been made aware of one road leading to Christ and the other road is leading you to hell? Could it be that you're like this colt? You're at the very place where two ways met. You're at the place where it is all or nothing. You're at the place where the next step will be crucial. For God has been striving with you by His Holy Spirit, and you've been under conviction of sin, and you know what you need to do. There's only one way to God, and it's not through this church or any church, and it's not through this preacher. There's only one way to God, and that is through the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. For you go back in your Old Testament scriptures, and what do you find? Only one door in the side of the ark for Noah and for those who would be found in there safely. Only one ark to be safe from God's judgment. Only one way across the Red Sea for the children of Israel to be delivered from their bondage and to go out into the land of promise. Only one way. Only one ladder that God revealed to Himself to Jacob at Bethel. A ladder that reached from heaven to the ground. Only one. And just as there was only one way that led to Christ this day for the colt, so there is only one way that leads to God and leads to heaven tonight. It is through faith in the only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would go to Calvary and who would pay the price of man's redemption. I remind you, dear sinner, that there is a way that seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Religion will never take you to God. Religion will never take you to heaven. Churchianity will never take you to heaven. It is by Christ and faith and His finished work at Calvary alone. It's the only way. You see here the Savior's power in the knowledge that He displayed. The great distance, the great way off. He knew where that colt would be. You were bestanding. He knows all about you tonight. But the power of Christ is also seen by the authority by which He spoke. You know, nothing ever done for God will be without opposition. When these disciples were to find this colt and start to loose him, there was every possibility that they would be confronted. There would be those who would question their actions. There would be those who would be prepared to stop them taking the colt, just as the ungodly, the worldling, will seek to stop the work of God in this world. But even should that be the case, the authority of the word of Christ would be all that they needed. Look at verse 3. The Lord says to them, "If any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway He will send him thither." The authority of Christ assured them that at the first mention of the name of the Lord, then those concerned would be made willing. Tell them the Lord hath need of him, and straightway He will send him hither. And you notice that just as the Lord had spoken, so it was when that time came about. For the disciples went as they were commanded of the Lord to do so. And they found the colt. And they started to loose the colt. And there were those who objected. But when the disciples spoke those words, "The Lord had need of him," you see the response in verse 6, "and they let them go." That was enough. When the one who created the very animals of the field claims one of his creatures, then who can stop him? They let them go. And I tell you tonight, the authority of Christ is still as powerful as ever, for it is His word that giveth life. And if Christ speaks the word, then your soul shall be loosed from its bondage of sin and set gloriously free. For His authority tonight, I want to tell you, men and women, it's greater than that of the devil. The devil cannot retain a soul in the kingdom of his darkness one moment. After Christ claims that soul for himself, he can't hold on to it any longer. His power has been crushed. The Savior has bruised his head at the cross. For there, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The power that caused the lame to walk. The power that caused the leper to be cleansed. The power that caused blind Bartimaeus to see is the power of Christ that you tonight can experience in the gospel. It's only the power of Christ can save your soul. His word is authoritative. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Don't you see the power of Christ? Will you not experience it tonight for yourself? Let me show you thirdly here the purpose of the Christian. Those disciples at the behest of the Lord were not to return in vain. And neither were they to come back empty-handed. What encouragement that is for us as God's people to go out and into the highways and the byways and seek to reach lost souls for Christ. These two disciples at the very commission of Christ, they didn't come back empty-handed. For having loosed the colt, they were to bring it to Jesus. Verse 7, and they brought the colt to Jesus. I love that. They brought the colt to Jesus. These men did their duty well. They knew where Christ was, and they were able to lead this colt to him. And my dear believer tonight, that is also our duty, and that is also what God requires of us. At his bidding we must go. At his bidding we must seek to lead lost, hopeless souls to Christ. We know where he is to be found tonight. By faith, the sinner must get to the foot of the old rugged cross and there accept what the Savior has accomplished for them. But you know, thank God tonight, the Savior's not on that cross. Thank God tonight, neither is he stinking in the tomb. For this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. That's where Christ is to be found tonight. Because he hath an unchangeable priesthood, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. He is the mighty to save. He is a risen, exalted, living Savior. And I point you to him tonight. What a change this was for the colt when it was brought to the Savior. This animal which never had a man upon it. It was to be haltered. Verse 7, and they brought the colt to Jesus. They cast their garments on him and they sat upon him. I've had the experience of haltering a horse. You get the halter over its lugs, over its head. Man, you're in control. There's a bit of tameness with it. Here's a colt, never a man sat on it. But yet this colt now has the Savior sitting on him. A nervous creature by nature. And easily disturbed. Yet I want you to consider that this colt was to walk amongst the great cheering crowds of that day. It was completely under the control of the Master. It was completely in submission to his will. A colt a man never had been upon, yet the Savior sat on him. And so it is when a sinner comes by faith to the Savior. Oh yes, there's a realizing of our need of Christ to save us from our sins. And then they are made willing to submit and become a new creature, willing to be a subject to their new Master. For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. But I want you to see something else. See also this colt was honored. In verse 7 we read that they cast their garments upon him. The colt now had a covering that it never had before. And so does the believer in Christ. The old filthy rags are removed, and we are covered with the righteousness of Christ, and we're accepted in the Beloved before God. God then doesn't see our old sin, but He sees the blood. He sees the perfect, spotless righteousness of our Savior, and we are accepted because of Christ. But this cult was to be honored furthermore by giving service to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the animal that caused the Savior to be brought into the city of Jerusalem in triumph, and nearer to that place where He would lay down His life on the cross. Oh, the little colt had a unique task to do for Christ that day. And we might say it shared in His glory. And so, my friend, the purpose of every believer is to do that unique service that God has given to each one of us. And you know, God has promised one day we will share in His eternal glory in His kingdom. The colt was haltered and it was honored. But consider also the colt this day was to uplift the Savior before the crowd so that He received their hosannas. Verse 9, and they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Their cry was, be propitious. Their cry was, save now. That's what Hosanna means. Save now. The very sentiment of Psalm 118 and the words of verse 25. In fact, it's part of what they quoted that day. For I read there, save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. And dear sinner, tonight in the gospel, I want to tell you, the Lord is able to save you now. The Lord is able to be propitious toward you now. He's able to be merciful to you tonight. He is able to turn away God's wrath due to your sin tonight for just a short time after this. Just a few days later, there the Christ of God went to the cross and willingly gave His life's blood that He might pay the punishment for sin, that He might turn away God's wrath that was your due. He paid it all. I wonder, will you come tonight? I wonder, will you know tonight your sins forgiven? Then leave this house of God and go forth uplifting the Savior before a dying and before a lost, guilty world. Go forth, uplift Christ before the crowds of people who don't know Him as Lord and Savior. This little colt had a work to do this day. That's why it was called from afar off by the Savior. It was part of God's plan. How do I know? You turn back to Zechariah chapter 9. And with this I'm finished. This little colt was part of God's plan. Zechariah 9 verse 9 says this. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. This little colt was part of God's plan, you see. For the prophet Zechariah over 400 years earlier prophesied about this colt. The king would come into Jerusalem riding upon the colt of an ass. Are you part of God's plan of salvation tonight? Are you chosen from all eternity. You can know you are. You can know you are tonight by coming and receiving Christ as your Savior, as your Lord, and as your King. I wonder, will you come? May God help you to do so for His glory's sake.